FMR 101.3 FM.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. You're listening to People of Note, and this is Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition here on Fine Music Radio. My guest is Paulina Malefane, who is an active performer with the Isango Ensemble, incidentally, which is an internationally renowned South African theatre company which draws its performers from the townships of Cape Town and predominantly performs overseas. And its productions have sold out in theatres worldwide, including many awards in London, in Paris, in Germany. And Paulina herself has accepted awards, the Golden Thumb from Roger Ebert in Illinois and the SAFTA Best Actress for U Carmen Ekhayelitsha. And I think a lot of people will know Paulina mostly from U Carmen Ekhayelitsha, which was such a huge success. Paulina, welcome. Why are you laughing?
No, thank you. Thank you.
Do you agree that U Carmen was a huge success?
I do.
When was that? It seems as though it was ages ago.
Are you really asking me that? I can't remember.
Oh, can't you? Okay.
I'm sure it was 2000 and... Oh, was it 2005 or something?
Oh, around then. Okay, yes, possibly. And yeah. The other one you did, the other one, La Bohème, that was more recent, wasn't it?
Well, by recent, I'm not sure. It must have been over... Maybe about 10 years ago
Wow.
now.
Okay. I like the fact that you can't remember the actual dates.
No, I can't. I can't remember what I did yesterday.
Oh, dear. Well, we're going to sort that out first of all. I just want to ask you, you've got a concert coming up in Cape Town this week on Friday the 10th of May.
Yes.
And what is that about? What's the aim of this concert?
Well, the concert, I'm very excited about it, first of all. But the concert came to me during Easter. And I was sitting in my office and I'm thinking, I'm a bit bored. I love my life as a teacher at College of Music, a lecturer. And it's fun, it's good, you know. But there is something missing this year that I haven't done. And I thought, of course, I haven't sung this year.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. Yes. And I thought, that's a shame. You know, I thought, okay, let me plan a concert for Easter and, you know, take it from there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure what happened then. I changed it instead of doing it during Easter because Easter is very, I know why. I was very busy at church. And I thought, no, it's not going to work. So I thought, let me find another date.
And there are also lots of concerts in Easter.
There's lots of concerts, exactly. Yeah. Then I found that date. And because I had a wonderful time last year at the Young Blood Gallery, which was my first time there, mm-hmm. and I thought it would be nice to go back there.
Oh, so that's where the concert is.
That's where
place.
The concert is, yeah.
What does the concert consist of?
Well, it's a bit of a selfish concert.
Well, you said you hadn't sung.
Well, exactly. You know, it stems,
why not be selfish?
It stems from that one. And I thought, and then from that idea, I thought, it would be nice to be with somebody else in the concert. Maybe people are maybe bored just hearing me on my own. Let me invite, you know, someone else to sing with me. And Sipo is just, next door, in the next door office. So I said, Sipo, you know, would you like to, you know, do a concert with me? And he said, of course, you know. And then the repertoire came. Because I thought, okay, duets would be good, you know, but in the second half of the program. And then the first half would be quite nice, light music, mm-hmm. You know, arias, songs.
Is Sipo a tenor or a baritone?
Sipo is a tenor.
Oh, so it's tenor and soprano.
Yes, it's a tenor and soprano.
But there's lots of repertoire for that as well, for that combination.
Amazing.
From all the operas.
Yes.
You people get spoiled, the tenors and sopranos.
Of course, of course. And I thought to myself, you know, it would be nice to do a repertoire that people are familiar with to begin with.
Yeah.
And because... like you said before, maybe we were not on air at the time, people know me as Ukamen Ekaelicha.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's the confusion for some people, because when I did Ukamen Ekaelicha, people then related me or associated me with a mezzo soprano.
Yes, which is famous. Not. Right.
You know, and so therefore, this is an opportunity for people to come and experience me as me.
As a soprano.
As a soprano, yes. And people who have seen me with Isango, obviously, would know that, you know, there's no mezzo soprano that can sing Queen of the Night in the magic flute.
Are you doing that as well?
I did that. I am going to do that in Germany in June, mm-hmm. June, July. Yeah.
My goodness. And this concert on the 10th that we're talking about,
yes.
Does that include the Isango ensemble?
No, it doesn't.
It's just
me.
You and Sipho.
It's just me and Sipho and José on the piano.
José Díaz, yes.
Yes.
Well, you've got a perfect accompanist, don't you think?
You know.
Isn't he wonderful?
I am so lucky.
Yeah. So what sort of thing is on the program? Just give us a few little tidbits.
Well, Sipho and I will do duets from Bohème, mm-hmm. Duets from Traviata. We'll do something from Carmen as well. You know, and then we'll do a few arias.
Individually.
Individually, mm-hmm. Yes. I'm not sure which one I'm going to choose. I'm working on three or four.
Okay.
So at the moment, I'm not sure which one will end up on the program. But the first half that I'm also very excited about is that I use also African repertoire. So there's some songs not arias, because they're not from an opera, but songs, isiXhosa songs that were written, you know, classically written. So I'll be not introducing those, but I'll be singing those, but also, you know, light.
Yes,
light
you mentioned
stuff.
Light. What, yeah. What sort of, give
For
us an
instance,
example of
there's,
the light stuff.
The Amy Beach songs, the Browning songs.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. I performed that with Estia at the college, the Festival of Song.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful songs. And then the lovely thing about it is that they were written by a woman.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not very often where, you know, we get to perform pieces that are written by women.
Not at all. Now, Paulina,
yes.
I'm most intrigued to know what your first piece of music is going to be and why you've chosen it. I think Franz Liszt you mentioned.
Yes, yes. The Petrarca Sonnets. When I was doing my postgrad, we call it PGDIP at UCT, Virginia, Professor Davids, gave me the Petrarca Sonnets to look at for one of my recitals. And I looked at it, and I listened to it, and I thought, no.
Oh, I didn't expect that.
This is very difficult for me. Beautiful music, you know, very beautiful music. And I listened to Renata Scotto's album a lot, and I try to listen to other people as well, but the way she paints the whole picture of it all is just very beautiful, and the long lines that she, and the beautiful thing about it is that it sounds like there's three songs, they sound like opera arias, and they're not arias, but the artistry behind it all is just amazing. And when I listened and heard it and saw it, and I thought, no, this is just too much. I can't, you know, I still need a few more years to develop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then later on, you know, after listening to it a bit more, and fell in love with it, I decided to do it.
And there you are. So what are we going to hear? We're going to hear the first of three, are we? The first of the
yes,
three.
Yes, yes.
Called Pace Non Trovo.
Yes.
Guerra en vero es
That's a song by Liszt called Pace Non Trovo and sung by Donato Scotto. And it's part of his Petrarch, just tell me.
Petrarca Sonnets.
Petrarca Sonnets. Mm. And it was the first choice of my guest, Paulina Malefane, on People of Note this week here on Fine Music Radio. We've spoken about your concert coming up, and I'll remind people at the end yes. of your concert at the Youngblood Gallery. But I just want to go a little bit into your background, because it seems to me as though you've had, you're relatively young, but you've had quite a career, mm-hmm. both locally and internationally. And your repertoire also seems quite wide, because it says here, your repertoire covers Beethoven, Brahms, Donizetti, Liszt, Mozart, Strauss, and Wagner. Mm-hmm. So can you also do the heavier roles as a soprano?
Well,
the more dramatic roles? Or do you concentrate on the coloratura, or how would you describe your voice?
You know, it's a conversation that I usually have with my students.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because it's they come into college, and the most important thing for them is to know what their voice type is. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a soprano, which soprano am I? And I always say to them, why is that important? But for them, it's important because they need to know whether they are a coloratura or the dramatic or the spinto, or, you know, it's very important for them because that's how they are classified wherever they come from. Mm-hmm. And I bring them down to where I am. And I say to them, you know, I've been singing for a while now. And if anyone would ask me what soprano I am, I wouldn't know.
That's interesting.
Because I sing whatever it is that comes my way. I try it. And if the range fits my range, then I do it. And sometimes there are those moments where you get an offer or whatever, invitation, please come and do this. And you're thinking, no, it's not for me. There will be those moments. But what I'm trying to say is it's important not to box ourselves. It's good enough to know that I'm a soprano, I'm a light soprano, or I'm a heavy soprano, or I'm a medium soprano. That's fine. But to actually get into whether I'm a soubrette or not, especially if you are in your second
if
year
you're
of
young,
study.
Exactly.
You know? Young. Yeah, because the voice is still developing. Mm. So it's important that you don't box yourself and restrict or try and navigate it. Let the voice develop to what it's supposed to be, depending on the training and whatever time you have. You know, so yes, I have done Carmen, I have done Queen of the Night with Isango, I have done Mimi, I have done also Musetta, and arias from Norma. I've done arias from Butterfly. I've done arias from Aida. You know, so I've done.
And those are all very different sopranos that you just mentioned. They're different styles.
They're different. Yes. Yes, definitely.
Do you work with male singers as well, with tenors and basses, or are they mostly women?
They're mostly women, but I enjoy working with tenors. I don't understand the baritone basses yet. That's I think, you know, as I grow up into or grow into my teaching, mm-hmm. I'll be able to, not that I don't teach them or I can't teach them, but I'm much more comfortable with the women and tenors. And I feel that I need more time to sort of equip myself and be comfortable with basses and baritones as well.
Yeah, because yeah. Your job is, am I right in saying your job is a voice coach at UCT?
Is a voice lecturer.
A voice lecturer.
Yes.
And there are a couple of you, aren't there, that do voice lecturing?
There's four of us. It's our head, Patrick Tukolo, he's professor now, myself, Violina Angelo, Hobbs, and then Sipo.
Okay.
Fubesi, yes.
And am I also right in saying that you trained with the lovely Virginia Davids?
Oh, I have.
Look at your
I
face.
I have. And I still am.
Really?
And I love every moment of it.
Do you still work with her?
I do.
My goodness.
Yes.
I mean, she's had unbelievable success with her students, hasn't she? And of course, everyone mentions Priti Yende.
Yes.
Who was one of hers, but just with everybody, she's had such success.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. You know, I suppose because Priti is there and has done whatever she has done, you know, so it's, she's the quickest person to think about. But, you know, she's done more than that.
Yeah, I'm
sure. You know, she's achieved more than that. I would say, you know, if you're just mentioning Priti all the time, you're diminishing what Virginia has done.
Yeah. Now we're going to have the great Maria Callas.
Of course.
You've joined Casta Diva from Norma.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right in assuming that you're an admirer of Maria Callas?
Oh.
Is that an understatement?
I love her. You know why I love her?
No.
There's two things. The first one, at some point in my studies, I hit a brick wall in the sense that I could only go up to a G and couldn't, if I went to an A, there would be a sound in the voice as if my voice is scratching or hitting on something.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened for, I think, close to a year. It was very uncomfortable.
And worrying, I would have thought, as well.
Very worrying.
Yeah.
And Virginia and I worked on it, and, you know, she tried and we worked on it. But as soon as that had gone, psychologically, it then affected me. So I couldn't get myself to sing beyond a B flat. And it was in my car one day, and I was listening to Casta Diva, Maria Callas, where I thought to myself, you know what? I'm in my car. I don't have anyone listening to me. I don't have anyone to judge me. Let me just release it and see what happens. And after that day, I mean, it's history, because now I can do E flat, you know, magic flute.
Of course, that would be up there, yes.
You know, yeah. So she helped me in a way,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And in your car, did you sing full voice?
I did.
Full out.
I and it was not a matter of one day.
Mm.
You know, I'll be lying if I said that. It was a matter of trying and trying and trying. And my car was my space.
Mm-hmm.
Where, because, you know, if you go into college, there's all sorts of people listening and wanting to interfere with, you know, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Those little rooms downstairs in the A level, it still is with the students, you know. Some of them would say, oh, I go down there and I'm trying to work, and someone comes and says, no, you should do this, you should do that. And that's another student, you know. Anyway, so Maria did that for me. You know, helped Prof. Davis a little bit there.
What a lovely story about the great Maria Callas. Now let's listen to her singing Casta Diva by Bellini.
Mm.
Thank you.
the magnificent voice of Maria Callas, singing Casta Diva from Norma by Bellini, and another choice of my guest, Paulina Malafane, who is with me here on People of Note this week and who's having a concert on Friday night. We'll tell you more about that towards the end of the program. But Paulina, as you are hearing, is a voice lecturer at UCT, but also a singer herself. And so I want to find out, Paulina, where you started. When did you discover you had a voice and wanted to start singing? Where does that go back to? Do you have a musical family?
Well, the honest question is, I'm still discovering if I'm a singer or not.
No, you can't say that. Don't terrify me.
No.
But that's interesting you said that in view of what you said earlier about those young people.
Yeah.
So you're playing psychological games here.
No. I don't play games at all. Well, I can't say or claim that I come from a musical family.
All right.
In the sense that my mom or father or my aunt was a singer somewhere. No, it's not that deep. But I know that my dad loved singing. He enjoyed family gatherings, and he had a beautiful voice. Towards the end of his life, it was a bit shaky.
Is what it does happen, doesn't it?
Yes. He loved singing. And so the family, I would say my clan, they really, really enjoy singing. When we come together as a family, we love singing together. But my mom, obviously she's family as well, but my mom has always been a wonderful supporter of mine. I remember when I was at school, you know, my mom used to be one of the few parents at school who would be there for every competition, every concert, just supporting the school choir. So I've started singing since, I think the first time was in primary school. That's when I started singing, as far as I know. But people who know me before that, when I was still young, they say that they were not surprised when I, in the end, became a singer, because I had always been singing. You know, I'd always shown interest in singing. If there's the singing going on, I would be there. But for me, even when I finished matric, through high school, I was in the school choir, and I loved it. We had a wonderful, fantastic teacher, Miss Nolfefe Mchabe, who injected most of my love of choral music and also introduced me to opera, but she's late now. So she was fantastic. So after school, because of where I came from and where we were at the time, I did not know that you could or one could make a career in singing. So I went to go and study municipal administration. Yeah, it was a disaster. Yes, of course. Yeah. We'll cut that story short.
Yes.
Didn't work.
We won't dwell on it.
No. So I, someone said to me, there's auditions going on at KPEP. It was KPEP at the time. There's auditions going on. Do you want to go and audition? And I said, well, I want to go to school. I want to study. Because for me, it was important. That's how we grew up. It's important that you go to school to be able to, you know,
learn things,
make a living.
Yes.
So I thought, he said, okay, but you get paid to do it. So I thought, what? Get paid to sing? Oh, okay, that's interesting. But at the same time, these things happened at the same time where I went to UCT and auditioned to do opera. And then at the same time came here because Angelo at the time was a director at the opera school and also here in
Cape. Angelo Gobato, yeah.
Angelo Gobato, yes. So I managed to do those two at the same time, which was not a good idea for someone who doesn't come from a musical background. I can't read music. I can't play any instrument. And so it took quite a toll in my first year of study. I regretted doing those two. But it was when I arrived at UCT, not in my first year, but in my second year of study, where then I was really sure this is what I wanted to do. because when I registered, I didn't really know what opera was, and got a shock of my life that I had to act as well.
Yes.
And because stage. I hated acting with passion, I didn't like acting at all. And now I'm looking at these productions, I'm looking at these people. I thought we were coming to sing, you know, but anyway, the second year of my study, that's when I decided, okay, this is where I want to be. This is what I want to do. This is, I love it.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
History.
There you go. Paulina, do tell me about your next piece, which is also from Norma, but now we have a duet with two rather famous women.
Yes. You know, I love Maria. Joan Sutherland.
Yes.
and Marilyn Horne.
They were quite a combination.
Oh, my
they?
Gosh. And, you know, I listened to their interviews all the time. And you know what? I listened to, I can't remember what I was doing there, but I listened to one of Sutherland's interviews where she was talking about high notes and how, for her, it's very surprising that, you know, she listens to these young singers and they're all warming up the top of their voices, you know, just checking if the top C's are there. And she says, you either have it or you don't have it.
How practical. It's very typical.
Yes, because and I tried it, you know. And she says, you warm up the middle of the voice. If the voice in the middle, if your middle register is warm, the voice will go up, the voice will go down. But if the middle of the voice is not in a good, what do you call it?
Condition. Yeah.
Then things don't really happen for you. And I wanted to try it. I was in London at the time. I thought to myself, you know, I'm doing magic flute. I'm not going to warm up today for the rehearsal. I'm just going to warm up my middle voice. I'm not going to even check if the D is there or not. Just going.
This was for the Queen of the Night.
This was for the Queen of the Night.
Yeah.
Yes. And I did it. And I thought she was right. It's either you have it or you don't have it. Just because you're warming it up and trying it there, you know, it's not going to suddenly appear.
Well, these two,
appear.
Joan Sutherland and Marilyn Horne, they're going to sing a duet from Norma.
Yes.
Miro o Norma.
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to these two great singers. And I'm going to ask you about Marilyn afterwards as well.
Okay.
Bye.
Well, two extraordinary voices there, Joan Sutherland and Marilyn Horne. Miro o Norma, from Norma by Bulini, and another choice of my guest, Paulina Malefane. We're talking about the human voice and the wonders thereof. And I said I was going to ask you about Marilyn Horne, because Sutherland and Horne did so much together, and they kind of matched each other, didn't they, temperament-wise, and even voices, although Marilyn had that really quite dark voice.
Yeah. It's very strange, Marilyn's voice. Mm. It's dark, but also quite agile.
Yes.
You know, yes. She could do whatever she wanted to do with it.
She can also go quite high.
She could go very high as well. Mm. That's the, you know, I was talking to a student of mine yesterday who's a mezzo, you know, and I said to her that we're just working on something else. And I said to her, it's important that we make sure that the top is there, because these days there's not much that's out there for real mezzos, you know. So it's important that we make a breakthrough up to the top registers of the voice and just try and develop that so that you can get, you know, even the soprano roles that are quite heavy and full-bodied, but possibly don't go too high.
Yeah.
You know, and Marilyn was such an amazing, you know, artist.
Yes. You and know? Actress as well.
Exactly. Yes. You know, and for her, I feel a bit like Maria Callas as well. It was not just about the beauty of sound. You know, it was the full package, you know, where, you know, like I said, agility, but storytelling as well.
Which is so important, is it, storytelling.
Yeah.
I've got one of my favorite recordings of Carmen, is one of the less popular ones, and it's with Marilyn Horne singing the role of Carmen.
Mm.
Because is Marilyn's a mezzo. She's not a contralto, is she? She's a mezzo, I think.
She is a mezzo, but
she can go very low.
Very
she's
low.
Got a good low register.
Yes, yeah.
Anyway, I want to know now, I mean, there's so many things that you do, but we've spoken about quite a lot of them.
Yeah.
But what struck me is your enthusiasm to lay the groundwork for young people, to get them into careers, to try and bring them in who wish to study music further. That seems to be a bit of a passion for you.
Mm. It's a real passion. And I'm going to try and answer you by making an example, a very honest example. The reason why I'm passionate about developing young singers at a very young age is because I feel if I had that opportunity, that chance, I would now not need a vocal a pianist for my singing lessons. I would be playing for my students.
Yes,
like Virginia does.
Like Virginia does, yes.
You see? And so therefore for me it is important that each and every singer that would exist from now on while I'm still alive and other people, you know, that I work with are still there, that they get a full package. It's not just about the voice. It's not just about singing. It's about, you know, everything that comes with it.
It's
so
about
if the
music.
Singing, yes, if the singing doesn't work, what do I do?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So if it doesn't work, then I have other choices. I'd go and teach if the singing doesn't work. Or I can compose my own music. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, but at least you have the basis.
So it is important for me that those little girls and boys in Khayelitsha, Guguletu, Kales River, wherever, you know, that they get the opportunity now given to them, so that when they decide, I'm not being naive, but if they decide to come to college, UCT or Stellenbosch or wherever, at least they have, unlike me who just went in, you know, like raw and became overwhelmed, and as a result you don't come out you know with a full package of things, you know. So my intention with the school that I'm running, and other projects that I'm involved in is that, you know, if you take a child, you know, from wherever, Cape Town or Eastern Cape somewhere, if you take that child and put them in New York or in Singapore, they don't feel threatened.
That's a lovely story, Paulina, because it shows a passion that you want to pass on as well to other people.
Yeah, it's important.
Yeah. Now, just let me remind people that your recital is on the 10th, Friday the 10th, coming up this week.
Friday the 10th.
At the Young Blood Gallery.
Young Blood Gallery in
with
town.
With a tenor, Sipho.
With tenor, yes. Sipho, Fubesi, and Jose Jerry on the
Diaz.
Piano.
Okay. Mm. So, your last song has really appealed to me because it's one of my great favorites. The fourth of the four last songs of Richard Strauss, sung by the great Jesse Norman.
Mm.
I want to ask you why you chose, but it might be a silly question because I'm sure I know it's so incredibly beautiful.
Mm.
But maybe you have something else to say about why you selected this.
I selected it because, besides the fact that it's beautiful, but also difficult for a singer, and listening to Jesse Norman do it, and other singers as well. Besides all of that, the reason why I chose it for today was because when I did it last year, it was in September, and my dad passed away in September last year. Oh. And I performed it on the Thursday, and my dad was buried on the Saturday.
Wow.
And so...
And it must have had a very special meaning
it
for
did.
You.
It did. And funny enough, the 2 weeks that I've been rehearsing, you know, it was fine going through it, you know. And suddenly, on that day, it became real, you know.
But there's a lovely piece about this last song, especially where she says, is this perhaps
death? Is this the exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Paulina, it's been lovely talking to you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for being so interesting.
Thank you.
Good luck with your concert on Friday.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
And I'm sure we'll speak again sometime.
Thank you.
I was talking to Paulina Malefane. And here, Richard Strauss with Jesse Norman.
Thank you.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
FMR 101.3 FM.